Fred, what type of event occurs if there's an emergency at a school?
Well, there's three responses to an emergency. One would be that they evacuate the kids. They load them up in the buses and they either take them home or take them to another school where they can house them until that school is over, and then again they take them home. Another thing would be a lockdown where they're locked down in the classroom. So each teacher will lock their own door, and if the exterior doors are electrified, they can hit a button and lock those doors down. But everyone is locked within the school building. The third type is called shelter in place, and that's where they evacuate to a enclosed area, and it's typically the gymnasium. All the kids are sent to the gym, and let's say it's because of a chemical spill, some truck tipped over a few blocks from the school, and there's a poisonous gas in the air. They would all go into the gymnasium. There's no windows, and they have duct tape typically, and they would duct tape around all of the doors, and if there is windows, around those windows to make sure everything's completely sealed. The other thing that a few of the schools have thought of that's a good measure and fairly unique is that they have, in addition to that lockdown button for the doors, they have a shutdown button for the HVAC system, because again, it's drawing from the air outside, heating it or cooling it, and then transmitting it through the ventilation system to all the rooms, including that gymnasium. So they can hit that, it's usually a green button, would shut down the air handling system, and they still seal the vents and the doors as a safety precaution, but it would eliminate the possibility of having this poisonous gas enter the HVAC system and be transmitted throughout the school.
Recently, Fred, you and I walked through a school, and I was looking at the school as, how do I keep the bad guys out? And as we were leaving, you reminded me that we also had to be thinking of, how do we know when a child leaves?
That's true, and several schools have told me that they have a problem where a parent comes to pick up a child, let's say for a dental appointment, and instead of the parent coming to the office and saying, I'm here to pick up my son or daughter, they just text message the student in the classroom. The student gets the message and says, my parent's here to pick me up for my dental appointment, and they just walk out the door, and it could be any of the doors, a fire door, not necessarily the office door where the office staff sees that they've left. And hopefully it is the parent, but again, there's no record that student actually left. So if there was an evacuation or a problem or a fire, they would know whether that student is still trapped somewhere in the building or has left with the parent, because there's no record of it. And then, of course, it could also be where they get a text message, they leave, but it's not for a dental appointment. It's that the boyfriend at another school came to pick them up and take them for a joyride. So there has to be a way that all of the students leave through the office area where they're checked out, and they know for sure that the student is gone or not and who they have left with.
Fred, when we look at a facility, normally we'll do a risk assessment. Is there something different about a school risk assessment from, say, a business facility in a metropolitan area?
Well, a big difference with schools, and especially with colleges, is that they are just totally wide open to the public, that there's very few areas that are restricted that the public cannot enter. Not so much with a public school, but especially colleges are extremely vulnerable because they are so wide open. The exception to that would probably be a dormitory, where normally they are locked and there's some screening of who goes in, and you would have to have a card or a code to enter a dormitory and sometimes even your room. But a problem with that is what we call tailgating, where I'm a student in a dorm, I've got a card to get in, I use my card, and I see another student entering right behind me, and I assume that they also are a resident there. So I, being polite person I am, I hold the door open for them and let them enter right behind me, not knowing that they are not authorized to come in. They don't even go to college at that campus, but they want to come in to steal some equipment or steal something from somebody's room or have even worse intentions.
There are systems out there. I think Newton's TDAR system and some others that allow smart systems to alert the fact that two people have gone through an area. Is that something that could be used in schools?
It can, and almost invariably the solution has to be a retrofit solution rather than being built into the building itself, because the architect didn't think of it, nor did they call the security expert until after the final design was done. So it's too late to make suggestions such as a revolving door. that can be used to make sure that only one person at a time passes. And if somebody enters the next section after you, it lets you through, it stops, reverses itself, and scoots them back out. So it's a very efficient way of screening that only authorized people enter into a building. But again, the architects often don't think of using such devices.
So different parts of the country, I would think that the teachers would have different attitudes about security and how to implement security, if you will, if they're taking it serious, if they believe that it, you know, that bad things happen in this part of the country, and yet in other parts of the country they may not take it as seriously. Do you find that?
Well, I find not only does that occur, but even within this state, from between the rural and urban areas of this state, there's a drastic difference between in philosophies. I find that in the urban areas, they're less likely to want to supervise the kids and their activities, thinking that, or saying that security is not our job. We're educators. We're not security guards. They're also the more likely to resent having cameras, decrying that Big Brother is watching and we don't want a part of that. Where in the suburbs and rural areas, it's the exact opposite. They're more likely to keep an eye out for the students, and security is part of their work, and are more likely to adapt having cameras and not worrying about Big Brother watching at all, especially since all the cameras are always in public viewing areas. They're never in private areas. And another issue that comes up, or even this issue of security and whether it's part of their job or not, the WEA, Washington Education Association, Union for Teachers, again, tells them not to pay any attention to security. It's not part of their job. Where the National Education Association tells them the exact opposite, that security is part of their duties and that they should be watching out for the welfare of the students.
So, Fred, what is the justification for the 2% on a new building project, and how does that equate in the project itself?
Well, in one word, it's liability. If they do nothing and have no security at all at the building, they're open for liability if there's any type of an injury or a loss, whether life or whatever the situation is, that it's usually where they'll at least be a civil litigation, if not a criminal charge, and they'll bring in expert witnesses that can prove that other similar facilities in the area had much higher level of security. They used cameras or card readers or had guards posted at their building, and yet this facility had absolutely nothing. So it shows that they were not paying any attention to the security needs of the occupants of the building.
So you become part of their risk mitigation plan.
Exactly.
So now that we're talking about risk mitigation, who's culpable or liable during an event like this in review?
Well, in several cases in Florida, it's actually come back to the hands of the architect. Since security was not part of the building design, but just retrofitting equipment, they found that the architect was liability, and there was large sums awarded to the facility that had the incident because there was not a proper design or careful attention to the item of security.
So again, people are going to wake up to, and AIA is pretty slow at waking up to it, but they will wake up to the fact that security is a segment and should be looked at very closely when they're designing these buildings, and maybe designing SEPTED and designing better infrastructure security.
Well, AIA has actually come out with some slides of presentations addressing this issue that's open for distribution throughout the country to architects. But again, I'm just not seeing the architects in the Northwest grasping or utilizing this material as part of their design.